Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again, whether you're tuning in on the radio dial in Mississippi or through one of our online affiliates around the world. We're glad to have all of you with us as well. I'm really excited to welcome our next guest to our program. Bestselling author Kate Hamer is celebrating the release of her new book, The Doll Funeral. It's a fascinating look. Now, a lot of people know Kate because of her book, The Girl in the Red Coat. She has such an amazing writing style and a way of being able to draw you into her characters and the storyline. We're going to talk to Kate not only about the writing of this new book, The Doll Funeral, but also what it's been like for her to hear from her readers literally from around the world, and also what it is that inspired the new book as well. If you're just not hearing about Kate, we'll tell you at the end of our segment how you can stay connected with her. But Kate, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Hello, thank you very much. Lovely to be here.
Oh, the pleasure is definitely all mine, Kate. You know, I have to say, you know, you have been able to literally garner fans, as I said, from around the world. I mean, you know, you live in Wales, I know, and, you know, you have followings, of course, here in the States and beyond. What has it been like for you, Kate, to see the way that these characters that you created have really garnered their own fan base?
Well, it's when I was writing my first book, The Girl in the Red Coat, it was really an act of faith, I think, because as I was writing it, I didn't even know it was going to get published, let alone anything else, you know, everything else that's happened around it. So it's been a really extraordinary experience, a really unexpected experience. And I've been quite humbled by it, to be perfectly honest. It's just an amazing feeling that you can write a story, you know, that a story that's really burning within you, and it connects to people. That's a really wonderful thing.
Right. And I think, you know, the great thing is, and I noticed that people who read your book, The Girl in the Red Coat, would agree with this. Kate, you know, we get upset with you because the story brings us in and we get so involved in the characters, you know, that we don't want it to end, but we do want to find out what happens next. You know, when you first started getting those emails from readers, when you first started getting those posts online, I mean, how did that feel to know that these characters were resonating that way?
Well, I mean, I suppose, you know, I write to connect with readers, so it's an amazing thing that that's happened. I do lots of events here as well, and so I meet people in person, and, you know, but sometimes people will come up with something quite unexpected, or the books have connected to a particular part of their lives, and it's really meant something to them. So, you know, I think writing and reading, in a way, for me, it's almost the same thing. It's an act of communication, whichever way, you know, whether you're a reader or a writer. And that's something I really cherish. And I'm also a great reader, so I'm kind of on both sides of the fence.
Yeah. You know, when did you first realize that storytelling was something that you were meant to do, Kate?
Probably when I was about 7, I think. Mm. But it's gone through lots of twists and turns before my novel was published. I wrote stories then. I illustrated them and stapled them together into little books, and throughout my life, I wrote short stories and bits and pieces and fragments. But I think at the age of 18, when you're trying to decide what to do with your life, you know, I just didn't think it was possible. I didn't think, okay, I'll go off and be a writer. It would have seemed ridiculous, like saying I wanted to be a rocket scientist or something. And I had a long career in radio and television, which is storytelling in a different way, but always still wrote and you know, nursed a dream to write a novel. And it was really when my children left home and I was at a bit of a crossroads, really. And somebody just said to me, you know, for once, just do what you really, really want to do. And that's what I did. And I know it sounds a bit corny, but I really did follow a dream.
Yeah. Well, it's a dream that has definitely paid off for you in a very big way. And as I said, you know, the fact that you have these readers from around the world now, you know, definitely I think says so much about it. Now, after the book, The Girl in the Red Coat, I mean, did you have those thoughts, Kate? I mean, could I do it again? I mean, when you saw how widely received that book was?
Yeah, I think the second novel is a very, very funny thing. I had a definite idea of what I wanted to do. The response to the first book could have felt a little bit overwhelming, I think. So I just made a decision to write the book again, which is what I did with the first one, write the book that I really wanted to write and just concentrate on the page every single day, the blank page, which is, you know, what it comes down to. And that kind of refocused me, and everything was fine after that. It was a story that I was burning to write, and, you know, in terms of writing, I don't think I could offer any more advice than that to anybody that's listening, is to write the story that you feel passionate about.
Right. And I think that's exactly what people find with the new book, The Doll Funeral, that we're about to talk about. I want to say, for those who are just tuning in, is on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're excited to welcome best-selling author Kate Hamer to our program today. We're talking with Kate not only about her literary journey, but what it's been like for her to garner fans from not only, of course, Wales, but also around the world. And now with the new book that continues with The Doll Funeral. So take us into this book, because I think the great thing is what we see about Ruby in the book, Kate, is that she is on a literal journey of discovery, but would you also agree that she's on a figurative or maybe even spiritual journey as she's kind of finding out who she is and who she can become?
Yeah, absolutely. The book opens on Ruby's 13th birthday, and her parents call her downstairs. And she knows by the sound of their voices that they've got something really important to tell her. And she finds out for the first time that she was actually adopted as a baby. And it's her response to it is sort of slightly, well, very unexpected, in that she is overjoyed. She runs out and starts singing, and she's had a pretty tough life, pretty dreadful life up until that point with her adopted parents. So there is a reason for that. And she embarks on this mission to find her birth parents, which is dangerous, really, because she begins uncovering all sorts of secrets from the past. But you're absolutely right. It's a journey, to find her own identity. I think the question that I pose in it, that I wanted to pose, is: are we always bound by our past, or can we break free of them and find new families that we've chosen ourselves, new futures, and new identities? Can we make our own identities? And she's very much a survivor, Ruby, and I really like writing about survivors. It's a really interesting and positive theme to me.
Yeah. You know, there is that one scene. I think, you know, we all are looking for a place where we belong, in a sense. I got that from the book.
Absolutely.
Kate,
yeah,
and there's that one scene that you write with Anna, where Anna buys the newspaper every day, and how she seems to be looking for something she can't find. Or looking for a place for herself. You know, what was that like for you to kind of think about? Because one thing people may not realize, you know, who haven't read the book, is that, you know, this book kind of not only, you know, takes us through, you know, Ruby's journey, but because parts of it, you know, of course, are first person, we're kind of able to become her. What was that like for you to kind of be this on this journey with Ruby?
Right. Well, when I write, I tend to very much inhabit characters. And I really did with Ruby. I really kind of fell in love with her through the writing of the book. You know, so at times it's difficult because you're writing, not always, you know, some of it is a little bit dark. But as I said, you know, my theme is survivors, and that's what I like writing about. And Ruby was very, very pleasant to me through the writing of the book. But going back to readers, the wonderful thing is I have a very strong feeling that when books are published, that they're handed over to readers. And it's actually the readers that own them, not me. It's almost not exactly nothing to do with me, but it doesn't belong to me anymore. And it belongs to readers. The book is transformed and remade every time somebody reads it. So those characters belong to the readers now.
Yeah. One thing you become known for is kind of taking us back and forth through time. Is that also something that you enjoy as a storyteller, to be able to, you know, to take us forward, but then to pull us back to kind of allow us to see more of the backstory of what we're experiencing?
Yeah, very, very much. And I certainly, with this one, it just suited the theme of how the past kind of makes and unmakes us. To expand it and find out, you know, more about where Ruby came from and the circumstances that led up to her adoption and her life. So it's sort of looking at things 360 degrees, I suppose, that enables you to have a bigger perspective. Having said that, I haven't done that with the book I'm working on at the moment. It's one quite straightforward timeline, so that's not always going to be the case.
Yeah. You know, there is this one thing. There's a sadness that's in this book because we realize that, you know, even though there is a search that Ruby is on, I mean, of course, we don't always find the answers that we want. It's not always the outcome that we want when it comes to searching for things. But, you know, the truth has a way sometimes of being hurtful but also healing. Is that how you see the doll funeral kind of unfolding?
Absolutely, yes. You absolutely have nailed it on the head. It's very, very much. And what you describe, I mean, that is life, you know. It's,
right.
It's not always straightforward, and we don't always find exactly what we think we want, you know, or what we wish for. But sometimes, you know, it's about forging a strong identity, and that's what Ruby does. And really, it's the only way she can do this is by going on this journey of discovery and finding out where she came from and what happened. So it's again coming back to that theme of survival.
Yeah. You know, I mentioned earlier about, you know, the experience of writing something like this. What surprised you the most about how the doll funeral unfolded? Kate, you know, I've heard authors talk about they have an idea that they want to be able to convey, they have something in mind, but sometimes the characters take over and say, no, 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 this is the way it happens. What surprised you about this book?
There were two things, really. The first one, there's a character called Shadow Boy in it, and he was very, very minor. I mean, he doesn't have a big role in the book, but he very much began, I describe it as tugging at my sleeve. He wanted his voice in there. He wanted to be heard, most definitely. So that surprised me a little. The other thing was how much location played a part in it, because I tried to write the book twice before in different locations, and it just wasn't working. There was always something out of kilter. And it wasn't until I visited a place that's not very far from me, but it, for some reason I'd never been there, called the Forest of Dean, I realised that my book had found its location, and that was a very moving experience. You know, I was I think I cried. It was such a relief. I knew straight away that that's where the book was set, and the forest becomes very much a character in the story. It just fascinated me, this place, which is, it might be more usual in the States, but here it's very unusual that there are communities living and working under the forest canopy still, in a very, very ancient forest where mining has happened since the Iron Age. And it's just incredibly atmospheric. So that surprised me. I think just how I knew instantly that when I went there that it was the location for the book and was the missing ingredient.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, it's an amazing read, Kate, and I think it's so great how the book unfolds, because it really allows us to be able to see, you know, how no matter where we live, how, again, we're all kind of interconnected, kind of like what you talk about when life happens to us. But I think just like we're able to see with Ruby and with Anna and with the other characters, what really matters is what we choose to do afterwards, you know, what we do after life happens. And I think that's what we're able to see unfold. Again, everyone, we've been speaking with bestselling author Kate Hamer today. We're talking with her not only about her literary journey, but her new book, The Doll Funeral. It's available now through our friends at Amazon.com or through your favorite bookstore, so make sure you all get your own copy. And Kate, let our audience know, how can they stay connected with you as well?
I have a website, which is www.katehamer.co.uk. I'm on Twitter, which is Kate_Hamer, and I very much enjoy meeting people there. And I've recently started Instagram, which I really like as well. Kate Hamer Writer there. It's good fun. So, yes, I'd be really happy to meet readers in either of those.
Okay. So make sure you all are definitely staying connected with Kate. Kate, it has definitely been an honor and a pleasure to have you on our program today. Thank you so much for the time. Really do appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much. It's been great to talk to you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You will make it a great one.